protection, please. May I have your attention, please? Sabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Shannon Bishoy Michelle Hawkins, and I'd like to say forever as a peace sign, Mason. It's now time to start firing sheets for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Andrew Abel, Benjamin Alexander Hawkins, and I would now like to present to you sons and daughters now entering the sanctuary. And now I'd like to turn it over to the first speaker, Yudea Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Blessed Those Who Repent and Call on the Name of Yahweh. We must repent and turn to Yahweh all the way. If we do this, we will be greatly blessed. We must repent and turn to Yahweh, calling on His name, choosing lawful thoughts and lawful actions that come from Yahweh. Please turn it over to Acts 3:19, found on page 842. And it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, for times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh." Yahweh tells us there will be a time when the book of Yahweh will be released, and men would again call on His name and serve Him instead of their own prideful works. Please turn it over to Zephaniah 3:9, found on page 713. "Yes, at that time, I will return to the peoples the pure word, the laws, and the prophets, so that all of them may call on the name of Yahweh and serve Him with one accord, unity." Yahweh wants all men to repent and turn to Him completely. This is more than just words. We have to change our actions. This is what Yahweh wants to see. In the third book of Yisrael, chapter 27, verses 54, the way Yahweh is right now and the way He's always going to be is that He prefers that everyone would repent and see the error of their ways. He teaches them the way that will stop all the trouble they're having, but He leaves it up to them whether or not they will accept it and put it to use in their lives. That's what you see here on earth, and that's what you see in the universe. He has a plan that will actually bring this to the entire universe, all the planets and the kingdoms. How does Yahweh teach us this plan, and how can we repent if we do not know what we're doing wrong? Yahweh said a teacher. Please turn to Romans 10:12-15, found on page 881. "For there is no decision between Yahdi and Greek, for the same Father of all is rich to all those who call upon Him. For whoever calls with the name of Yahweh will be saved. How then can they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him of whom they had not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring glad tidings of righteous things." Our pastor, Israel Hawkins, was sent to us in these last days, to teach us what to repent of and how to do it. It's time to listen to the teacher Yahweh has sent us repent and turn from our sins all the way. All the way, and call on Yahweh. If we do this, we'll be greatly blessed, and we can make it into Yahweh's kingdom. May Yahweh bless our understanding. If you all please stand. I'd now like to turn it over to Sonny Israel for prayer.
Please remain standing. I'd like to turn it over to Afkan Koyleth Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, Shabbat Shalom. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I wanted to talk about the duties of the priesthood, you know, what Yahweh's training us for, and how Yahweh shows through certain things, you know, through certain routines, how, you know, what his plan is for us. Okay, what his plan is for us. And so one of the examples that I wanted to show you is in Genesis chapter 4. And remember that if it wasn't for our great teacher, if it wasn't for Pastor, we wouldn't even have the understanding concerning these scriptures right here. Okay, none of the scriptures, but specifically this one, because this is what I want to focus on today. So in Genesis chapter 4, it talks about Cain and Abel. In verse 2, it says, "Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel was born. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. And Abel, besides bringing his offering of the fruit of the ground, also brought a sacrifice of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh honored Abel's offerings." Okay, but he did not honor Cain and his offerings, and Cain became angry. And so why is that important? Well, it wasn't until Pastor explained to us, you know, first of all, that these weren't little boys that we thought, you know, as we were growing up, that these men were priests, they were teachers. Okay, and in these offerings here, it shows how, you know, how Abel taught Yahweh's plan, how he taught that we need a Savior and all of those things in there. But Cain didn't recognize the fact that we need a Savior, that we needed to be redeemed unto Yahweh. And in these offerings here, Yahweh shows us that, okay, if you obey my voice, okay, if you follow my teachings, you will have eternal life. Okay, but if you follow the other teachings, then you'll die. And he goes on to show us what Cain's way of life will bring, the continual war, the violence, the bloodshed, and so on and so forth. Okay, and this is what he shows in these offerings. But if Pastor hadn't have taught us, you know, and explain these things to us, we would have never understood what was being shown to us in those offerings. Okay, now the children of Israel, we know throughout history, they did not obey Yahweh. They continued to rebel and go backwards. As in Jeremiah, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And I'll try to slow down a little bit. In Jeremiah chapter 7 on page 579 here, verse 21, this is what Yahweh of hosts, the Father of Israel, says: "Put your burnt offerings with your other sacrifices and eat meat." Okay, and eat meat. "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them about burnt offerings or sacrifices in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice." Okay, he said, I didn't command you about sacrifices or burnt offerings, but my whole plan was for you to obey my voice, obey my teachings. "And I will be your father, and you will be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, so it may be well with you." But they did not obey, nor pay any attention. Instead, they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Okay, they didn't obey the teachings. They didn't obey the voice of Yahweh. And we can see how that history went for the children of Israel. Going into captivity, they've been released from captivity. But the point that I want to make is Yahweh said, look, put away these sacrifices. Put away all of these things that you're doing, the burning of cows, the offering of these things, and eat meat. So what is meat? Okay, let's read it. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. I thought I was going to get a large response from that. Okay? But it's okay. It's still early. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 14. Hebrews 5, 14. It says, this is on page 945. But strong meat belongs to those who are full grown, for those whose senses are trained by practice to discern both righteousness and evil. Okay? That's the meat of Yahweh. Yahweh says, put away your sacrifices and your offerings and eat meat. Okay? And this is what this meat is. And it belongs to those who are full grown, for those whose senses are trained by practice to discern both righteousness and evil. Did it say to practice both righteousness and evil? No, it says to discern, to learn the difference between the two. Now, isn't that the job of the priest of the house of Yahweh, to teach the difference between the holy and the profane, to teach the difference between righteousness and evil, the difference between the clean and the unclean? And this is what Yahweh says, practice these things. Don't just keep on, you know, sacrificing things on the altar. Don't continue burning these things up. Okay? Learn to do righteousness, right? Learn to do righteousness. But we have in Daniel, and I like bringing this up because Daniel, you know, he saw who in these last days? Who did he see teaching in these last days? He saw a pastor teaching in these last days, right? And Daniel was questioning. He said, you know, when will these things be? Okay, and what did pastor tell him? He's like, go your way. Daniel, it's not for you to know these things. Okay, these things are sealed for the last days. And that's how important this priesthood, this family of Yahweh is in these last days. Okay, these things were hidden from all of the righteous men of old. You know, and it's revealed, these things are restored for us to grow in our understanding. But without pastor teaching us, you know, we're not going to understand these things. Okay, we're not going to be able to lean on our own understanding and grow. Okay, so one of the things that Daniel talked about was how the Lord of heaven will be set up in these last days, right? Be set up and everyone will be serving the Queen of Heaven and, you know, the daily sacrifices will cease. Okay, these daily sacrifices, which Yahweh already said, you know, put away your sacrifices and eat meat. So does it seem like a contradiction? You know, Daniel saying, well, the daily sacrifices are going to cease, and but Yahweh said, don't do that. So maybe the Catholic Church is right, right? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. You know, one of the things that that Daniel understood is that, you know, righteousness was ascribed to Yahweh. Okay, and Daniel admitted he didn't understand. Okay, Eob admitted he didn't understand. Remember when Eob was going through certain tests and trials, he said, you know, I didn't understand these things, and I spoke about things too wonderful. You know, I don't know how the earth is suspended upon nothing. You know, I don't know how the east wind is gathered and so on and so forth. I don't know these things. You know, Yahweh is in heaven. I'm on earth, so I have to put my trust in Yahweh, right? Okay, it's Yahweh who reveals these things to us, you know, through our obedience to the one who's teaching us. So let's look over to Hebrews chapter 10 here. You know, so we have, you know, Daniel talking about the daily sacrifice ceasing and so on. And now you have the children of Israel who believe that they can't keep all of Yahweh's laws. They can't offer sacrifices because there's no temple, right? So there's no temple, so we can't perform sacrifices and offerings, you know. And I'm reminding you of these things to show you the difference between, you know, what Yahweh is doing with us, who he's working with, and the ones that Yahweh is not working with. So you can see the level of understanding that's being poured out to Yahweh's house, because I think we take these things for granted. Okay, I think we take this understanding for granted and we don't really sit down and really meditate on what it is that we know, you know, what we're being taught. And so there's no temple. The sacrifice and offerings can't be done, right? Before we look at Hebrews, let's look at 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, let's start at verse 16. So what's another name for the so-called temple? The house of Yahweh is what it should have been called, right? Or at least that's what it was known by Solomon and those men. So the house of Yahweh. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on page 889. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not understand that you are the house of Yahweh and that the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If anyone defiles the house of Yahweh, Yahweh will destroy him, for the house of Yahweh is holy, which you are. So you are the house of Yahweh. Right. We understand that. Right. So is the house of Yahweh destroyed? No, you're the house of Yahweh. Now, look over at verse 9 here. Look at verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. For we are the laborers together of Yahweh. You are the tillage of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. According to the mercy Yahweh has given me, as a wise chief architect, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let every man be careful how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay that has that than that which is already laid, Yahshua Messiah. If any man builds on this foundation using silver, gold, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will receive a reward. And if any man's work, if anyone's work is burned up, he will sustain a loss, though he will be saved, as it were, saved in order to be burned. So here is showing you that, you know, we're being built into these houses of Yahweh. Okay, we're being built without hands, spiritual houses of Yahweh. And there's a specific pattern that has to be followed here. We have to be obedient to the voice of Yahweh to properly build this house. And Yahweh's going to test the quality of your work. He's going to test the quality of it. You know, whether you built a strong house that'll be able to endure and stand and house, or if it's going to be blown down, you know, burned up and destroyed. Okay, so you're the house of Yahweh. We are the house of Yahweh. Now, let's take a look at 1 Kefa. Where's 1 Kefa? 1 Kefa chapter 2 on page 958. 1 Kefa chapter 2 on page 958. Look at verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, indeed rejected by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious. You, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. Okay, so we have a house of Yahweh. Okay, we're the house of Yahweh. And he says, offer these spiritual sacrifices, offering spiritual sacrifices to Yahweh. Okay, so in Hebrews 10, now let's go back to Hebrews 10. Let's see, where is that at? Is this clear so far? Okay, praise Yahweh. Okay, so we're not under the belief that there is no house of Yahweh to offer sacrifices. Okay, Yahweh's not asking us to, you know, throw, you know, beef on an altar. Okay, he's asking us to obey the teachings that we're being taught by the witness in these last days to become perfect. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it says, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering again and again the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Okay, they can never take away sins. Now look at 10 verse 1. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper into this. Hebrews 10 verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of the righteous things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which, let me start over here. For the law, having a shadow of the righteous things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who come near perfect. Okay, so bringing forth the physical sacrifices and offerings didn't make a person perfect. Okay, these things do not make you perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers once purged would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me. Okay? A body. So who's the body of Messiah? We are. We're the body of Messiah. Okay? We're the body of Messiah. Okay? This is the body that's being prepared. So sacrifices and offerings you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me. Okay, this is us. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book is written of me to do your will, O Yahweh. And the will of Yahweh is that none shall perish. Right? And how is it that people, you know, cease from perishing? Through the teachings. Okay, having a righteous teacher show them what they need to do in order to have life. And Yeshua was a great teacher, is a great teacher. Verse 8. First he said, sacrifices and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not want, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O Yahweh. He takes away the first priesthood that he may establish the second priesthood. And by that will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once and for all. So did you catch verse 9? Okay. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O Yahweh. He takes away the first priesthood that he may establish the second priesthood. Okay. Praise Yahweh. So what I want to do now is take a look at one offering specifically and go through what the priest did in their in this offering, and then we're going to talk about it. Okay, so in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, and this is the grain offering. Okay, this is on page 81. This is the grain offering. It says, when anyone offers a grain offering to Yahweh, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to the sons of Aaron, the priests. A priest shall take from it a handful of fine flour, the oil, and all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Yahweh. Okay, now look at verse 11. I'm not going to go through all of it, but verse 11 says, no grain offering you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to Yahweh made by fire. And then in verse 13, it reads, every offering of your grain offerings you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of Yahweh to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Okay, you shall offer salt. So first, okay, in the grain offering, the word grain, you know, and this is from a dictionary, you know, because I don't have all of the time to really go through every single definition in every word. So I'm going to kind of condense this. And this is one of those things where you're going to have to trust and believe in Yahweh by trusting his priest. Okay, so I hope that you believe what you hear, you know. Hope you believe these things, you know, because Yahweh is true. So the word grain, one of the definitions in the Funk and Wagnalls dictionary, said that the word grain means the innate quality or character of a thing. Okay, so the innate quality or character of a thing. The word innate means immediately from or in the mind or intellect. Okay, so right off the back here, we see, okay, we're dealing with not just, you know, grain, wheat, or things like that, but there's something else in this offering that Yahweh wants to show us. Okay, so right now we have the grain offering that shows that Yahweh's talking about the character of a thing, the mind or the intellect. And so he says that this offering has to be a fine flour. And the word fine means excellent in quality, admirable, superior, refined, having a high quality or specified degree of purity as silver or gold, distinguished, enjoyable, pleasant, trained to the highest point of efficiency. Okay, trained to the highest point of efficiency. So how many people have gathered grain that met these qualifications? No, so Yahweh's talking about something different. Okay, so where does wheat come from? Or where does grain come from? I kind of gave you the answer there. It comes from wheat, right? It comes from wheat. Okay, so let's look at Matithiah chapter 3. Great day. Matithia chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, so let's take a look at this wheat. His winnowing shovel in his hand, and he will his winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now look at the footnote there, G7, which is the preaching of the message. In this way, he gathers the faithful as grain and scatters the infidels as chaff. Okay, so we can see here that this wheat also represents us. Okay, represents us, mankind. Look at Luke 22 on page 809. Luke 22 on page 809, verse 31 here. Y'all should be familiar with this. We talked about this one before. I think it was the last time I spoke. We actually thought the scripture read, what was it? Satan wants to rend you like a rag. And y'all believe that was a scripture? We all did. But here it says, now Yeshua said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan wanted you so she could sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Okay, strengthen your brothers. But Satan wanted to sift you like wheat. Okay, showing once again that we are wheat. But we can either allow Yahweh to sift us or Satan. Okay, so we have options there. And again, it's your choice. Okay, it's your choice. In the footnote here, G2, it says, Satan seeks by all means to disrupt the house of Yahweh, to disperse it, and to shake it from the true faith. And where it says, let's see here, W4, you, okay, Satan wanted you. It means my apostles, okay? All of us, the students, the ones who sit at the feet of the voice of Yahweh, okay? All of us, Satan wants us, wants to remove us from Yahweh's house. And then the last one here, W5, where it says, sift you like wheat, it says, try you to the utmost, okay? To the uttermost. Try you to the uttermost means you're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. But what's the secret to success in Yahweh's house? Well, it's really one word. I mean, okay, those words are correct, but I'm looking for a specific word that starts with the letter R. Rejoice. Okay, rejoice. Man, like I'm rejoicing now that we finally know that we're supposed to rejoice, right? Rejoice. That's the key to success. Yahweh says, rejoice in your tribulation. Rejoice in all of these things because you know my plan for you. You know why you're going through all of these things. Yes, you're being sifted. You're being ground up and so on and so forth. You know? But there's a reason for these things. You know, we're going to be this fine flower, which if I keep reading here, we'll get to that. But rejoice, no matter what the situation is, you have hope because you know Yahweh is who? Our Father. Okay, we know who our Father is, so there's hope for us. Okay, so let's continue on here. You know, this wheat, it symbolizes, you know, the physical man. It symbolizes us. And so in order to get this wheat and turn it into fine flour, there's a process that it has to go through. The word wheat is word number 7322, roof. Just like a roof. But it means to triturate, to agitate. Okay, and so the word triturate means to reduce to fine powder or pulp by grinding or rubbing. Okay, grinding. Does that sound familiar? Grinding, the day-to-day grind, right? The day-to-day grind. Okay, so by grinding and rubbing. And then the word agitate, it means to excite, to revolve in the mind, to keep a subject or cause under continuous discussion. So as we're being, you know, ground, okay, going through the day-to-day grind, we're supposed to be mindful of Yahweh, keeping Yahweh in our remembrance, conversating about Yahweh, you know, constantly encouraging one another on towards perfect and righteous works. So no matter what we're going through, we cannot forget Yahweh, okay? We cannot forget Yahweh. And these are the things that give us strength, okay? And that's shown in his word wheat. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, because again, the one of the keys to success, you know, and I think it's really the main ingredient, is rejoicing. You know, throughout the scriptures, Yahweh commands us to rejoice. Nowhere does it really say, you know, don't rejoice. You know, I mean, I would almost have to say, you know, we're it's almost like being disobedient if we don't rejoice, because Yahweh says to rejoice. Okay, that's how serious it is, you know. And I'm not saying that's doctrine. I'm saying, you know, we need to start finding ways to make sure that we're doing everything that Father Yahweh is teaching us to do. Okay, so if I'm not rejoicing, I'm like, man, Father, I'm sorry for my disobedience. You know, I'll do better. Okay, we have to learn to be thankful for everything that Yahweh has set before us. You know, like Yob went through certain things and said, look, Yahweh allowed the great times as well as the bad. So why would I not give Father honor to Father Yahweh? Let's look at verse, the 2 Corinthians chapter 7 on page 905. Let's look at verse 9 here. It says, now I rejoice, not that you were grieved, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were grieved in a manner as Yahweh willed, that you might not sustain a loss in any way because of us. For the sorrow that Yahweh wills works repentance to salvation. Okay, you get that? It says here, for the sorrow that Yahweh wills works repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world works death. For we see how much earnestness this sorrow that Yahweh wills has brought about for you, what diligence it has brought about in you. Yes, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what reverence, what vehement longing, what zeal, what vindication. In all your defense, you have commended yourselves. Okay, so Yahweh allows us to go through certain things. It's his will that we go through certain things so that we can learn his way, so that we can learn to repent of our transgressions, our differences from Yahweh, and become perfect. So when we're going through things, you know, get over it. You know, seek Yahweh. I wasn't trying to say it like that. But, you know, we have to learn to look to Father Yahweh for strength. And that's what he's saying here. Look, you know, I'm not rejoicing that you're aggrieved, but that you realize that you are wrong and you're trying to clear yourself. You're trying to clear your name and prove to Yahweh that you want to live forever. Okay, and that's what these things are for, you know, a remembrance on our minds to go to Father Yahweh so that we can prove that he can trust us. Okay, we have to prove to Yahweh that he can trust us. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 2 here, because we're going to go through some of the things that were used in this grain offering here. Okay, so in the grain offering, okay, we see the main ingredient here was the fine flour. Okay, the fine flour. Let's see. Let me go up to verse. Okay, this is verse 1, the fine flour. And so the fine flour, as we read over verse 11 also, had to be free of sin or no leaven, which represents sin. Okay, so no sin involved in this offering, no leaven. Okay, it had to be salt. You had to use salt in these things. And salt represents the covenant, but the word salt also means that which purifies, preserves, or corrects. Okay, that which purifies, preserves, or corrects. Because remember, salt, physically, they would use it to preserve meat and things like that. They use salt to cure the meat, to preserve it, because salt fights decay and death. Okay, that's what salt does. It fights spoiling. It fights those things which leads to death. Okay, so when you look at the different things like that, you'll see what Yahweh is trying to say to us. Okay, all your offerings have to, you have to use salt. You have to, you know, teach these things which fight against death. Okay, this is a level of understanding that Yahweh has given to his house in these last days. Here in verse 2, well, in verse 1, it also talks about the oil. And we know that the oil is what? The teaching, the laws of Yahweh, right? The golden oil which comes forth from the voice of Yahweh. Yahweh says, obey my voice. Put away these sacrifices and eat meat. Obey my voice. This oil comes from the voice of Yahweh. Okay, pour oil on it. It also talks about the frankincense, which the definition shows purity, okay, to become made white or to become holy. In verse 2, it says, bring it to the sons of Aaron, okay, the priests. Do you know what the name Aaron means? No takers? It means light bringer, okay? Aaron means light bringer. You can find that in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. So it says, bring it to, you know, bring your offering to the light bringer, to the sons of the light bringer. Now, ultimately, who is the light? Yahweh, I heard a child say, praise Yahweh. All right. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. So Yahweh, in 1 Yochanan I think it's 1 Yochanan 1:5. It says, Yahweh is light. Okay, Yahweh is light. So bring it to the light bringer, to the house of Yahweh. Okay, and this is where we're going to learn these things. It also talks about, this fire. Let's look at this fire. In Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 8, and this is, when you read 23, you know it's talking about the feast of Yahweh and things like that. But in verse 8 it says, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it. Now look at that footnote B. It says, fire represents the spirit, power, force, and internal ardor or diligence of the mind. Okay, that's what this fire is. Okay, and Yahweh says in Jeremiah chapter 23, I think it's around 29, he says, you know, my words are fire. My words are like fire. Okay, the word of Yahweh is like fire. And remember, out of the mouth of the spokesperson for Yahweh, you know, the words, the law and the prophets comes out of his mouth like what? Fire. Okay, so you're right, it's the flaming sword and everything, but the fire is what I was talking about, you know, this fire. So the words of Yahweh is this fire. And here, fire represents the diligence of the mind. Okay, the diligence of the mind. And look over to, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Did I write a page on here? Page 937. 1 Timothy on page 937. And remember, this is what Shaul wrote here to Timothy. Verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of Yahweh, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For Yahweh had not given us the spirit of moral cowardice, being timid and fearful, but the power and of love of a sound mind. Okay, so you see how the prophets and the apostles, these men of Yahweh, continue to refer to the mind, these, you know, the offerings and things like that, connecting this understanding that we have to have in these last days to show what Yahweh wants us to do, you know, performing this great work and these things that's been reserved for us. And so, so we have the frankincense, we have the oil, we have the fine flour, the salt, and these different things here. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 2 one more time. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 2 and let's read it one more time. So it says, when anyone offers a grain offering to Yahweh, his offering shall be a fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to the sons of Aaron, the priests. A priest shall take from it a handful of fine flour. Okay, and we know how that fine flour is the process that fine flour has to go through, right? The wheat being gathered, being ground. And remember, I forgot to mention how many times it was sifted. Who know how many times that wheat was sifted? Oh, man. 13 times. The one I didn't expect y'all to get, y'all got. Praise Yahweh. So it's sifted 13 times, right? How many attributes does Yahweh have? 13 righteous attributes is what's mentioned here. Okay, so that's pretty interesting, right? So here it says, a priest shall take from it a handful of fine flour, the oil, and the frankincense, all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Yahweh. That's what let's turn over to Ephesians 5 really quick for that sweet aroma. Okay, Ephesians 5. Sweet aroma to Yahweh. That would be on page 919. Oh, let's see. Okay, so verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Well, let's go up to verse 1. Therefore, be followers of Yahweh like dear children, and walk in love as the Messiah has also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh as a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, so at what point in Yeshua's life, you know, was he actually an offering or a sacrifice to Yahweh? The day that he was nailed to the stake or the life that he lived? It was a life that he lived. He was an offering for us, showing us how to become, you know, pleasing and acceptable to Yahweh. Okay? That's what the sweet-smelling aroma is to Yahweh. All right? So let's continue to read here. It says, that's a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 11, again, it says, no grain offering you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to Yahweh made by fire. Every offering of your grain offerings you shall season with salt. Okay, so with all your offerings you shall offer salt. So with all of those definitions that we covered, let's go ahead and read Leviticus 2:1 and 2:2 again. And this is not a translation of the scriptures by no means, but using the definitions and letting scripture interpret scripture. You know, I just wanted to read to you my understanding of this grain offering, you know. And I talked to the priest about this, you know. And so, again, it's not a translation, but, you know, again, it should give us a better understanding of the grain offering. Leviticus 2:1, when anyone offers himself to Yahweh, his offerings are spiritual sacrifices. His heart and mind must desire to be free of sin. He shall become wise, trained in the knowledge of Yahweh, and he shall excel in the laws of Yahweh by purifying and consecrating his mind by keeping the laws of Yahweh. Leviticus 2:2, he shall become a son of Yahweh, the light bringer, at the house of Yahweh. The priest will teach him to remove sin from his life. They will consecrate him, teaching him how to receive Yahweh's spirit wholly and teach him to purify himself. And remember, Yahweh says, learn to do righteousness. Okay, let us reason together. Come and learn how to do these things. And the priest will teach him to remember the laws of Yahweh and keep them on his mind, being tested and proved through the keeping of Yahweh's law. Then being purged of sin is a pleasing sacrifice to Yahweh. Okay, praise Yahweh. Okay, so in conclusion, you know, we can't just skip over the way of Yahweh. Everything that's in the book of Yahweh is for our learning. Yahweh reveals his great plan through all of these things. May Yahweh bless you, and if you all please stand. I'll turn the service over to the great comma, T. Thurston Hawkins. Praise God. Praise God.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's truly a privilege to come before the great saints of Yahweh in these last days. Today I wanted to cover a little bit, speaking of up-and-coming younger folks, you know, kind of getting out of the age of being a young child, growing into a young man or a young woman, and growing up in Yahweh's righteous house, and some of the different tests and trials that we will face, and the things that we will have to go through to prove and to qualify to be a part of Yahweh's priestly family, to be priest or priestess in Yahweh's kingdom. If you'll be turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, we see and that's found on page 896, we see in today's society and in the world, we see strong pulls that are put throughout the world to pull us away from serving Father Yahweh. And even our minds sometimes, you don't even have to have negative influences or allow negative teachings to come into your mind, but just your mind itself, the carnality that Yahweh put there for us to overcome can actually work against our growth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Shaul writes, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child." And if you turn over to Psalms chapter 101 and verse 5, it's found on page 474, Psalms 101 and verse 5. And we know the proverb speaks about foolishness being bound in the heart of a child, and Pastor recently spoke on how at certain ages you really need guidance and instructions because the mind is not... Yahweh didn't create the mind to where you would just automatically do what was right. You know, you would have that carnal desire that it speaks of in Genesis chapter 4. You'd have this desire to sin, but you had to overcome it. And we must overcome these things. You know, and though I might speak to the younger folks, you know, this applies to us older folks also, that we do face these mental battles, you know, because, you know, Satan hasn't showed up at the front gate, you know, with a bunch of demons and, you know, swords and knives and billy clubs and come to fight us physically. It's a mental battle, you know, and when it says that she seeks about like a roaring lion, you know, there's not mountain lions running around at nighttime seeking to snatch us. it's a physical, it's a mental and a spiritual battle that we fight within our minds. In Psalms 101 and verse 5, it reads, "Whoever slanders his brother by backbiting in secret, him we will cut off. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him we will not endure." And pride is a very strong pull, a very, very strong pull within the mind that leads us away from Father Yahweh, and it leads us away from following the instructions that we receive from Yahweh's mighty house. And you know, I can speak this, to you as a repentive, proud bastard, you know, because I know, you know, working with the great sons in Yahweh's house, the great young men coming up, I know I can look back on when I was a young man, and you know, I feel really bad for the great priests and deacons who put up with me for many, many years, because I used to be a real proud bastard, you know, and it's really a struggle to get that pride out of the mind. If you go over to Romans chapter 1, it is a struggle, and even, you know, I'm not totally overcome of it. You still see pride. I feel pride rise up in my own mind at times, and these different carnal desires and the mentality to want to do it Matithya's way, you know. But Yahweh said that my thoughts are not Matithya's thoughts, and Matithya's thoughts are not Yahweh's thoughts. You know, we have to bring our thoughts into subjection to be like Father Yahweh, and this is what Yahweh is bringing us in these last days through his servant Israel, to give us Yahweh's thoughts so that our thoughts would be Yahweh's thoughts, because our carnal mind is working against Yahweh's righteousness. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it said, "Because that when they knew Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Father, nor were thankful, but became idolatrous God worshipers, and their reasoning and their senseless minds were darkened." And if you go over to page 874 and verse 28, you know, so they knew Yahweh, they received the instructions and the teachings, and they were given the education, but they didn't retain those things. In verse 28, it says, "And so they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness." So when we learn of Yahweh's way, if we don't retain those things, if we're not thankful, as the Apostle Shaul said here, if we're not thankful for what we're learning and the life that we're being offered, you know, then we will be giving over, we'll be filled with all unrighteousness. Our minds, our bodies, our whole life will be filled with all unrighteousness. And if you go over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, found on page 506, you see here what brings this destruction, you know, whether it's the destruction of the mind or the body or the destruction of the earth and the firmament. You see where the destruction comes from. You know, we have to be really on guard, great saints of Yahweh and righteous men and women of Yahweh, that we're diligently adhering to the knowledge that Yahweh is giving us in these last days. Don't ever take it for granted, and be very thankful, because These words that come from Yahweh's house, the words that flow forth from the seventh Malach's lips, those are the words of life. Those are the words of life that are going to bring life to the entire universe forever. You know, and those words of life will continue to go forth. And Pastor said, he said a couple weeks ago, he said, I pray that you would listen to me while you're still here and able to hear me. You know, Pastor's not going anywhere. He's not going to move on, you know, be like, all right, I did my part there, I'm going to move on over here. Pastor's not going nowhere. He's always going to be teaching Yahweh's laws, teaching the instructions for life. But we might find ourselves not sitting at his feet because we've removed our minds from his teachings, and we haven't firmly adhered to what he's brought us. And allow pride to rule up in our minds to actually destroy spirit holy, you know, that should be dwelling within us. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the plunder with the proud." Now, Pastor had some real He had some real great words in the first book of Israel. For your notes, most of the quotes I have from the book of Israel are from the first book of Israel. In the first book of Israel, chapter 33, in verse 50 through 52, you know, in the first book of Israel, it's kind of like prehistoric, where it doesn't have verses in it, so you have to actually, it doesn't even have chapter numbers, so you got to go to the beginning of the book, and you got to count through the dates to find the chapters. So when you find something in the Israel says, you really got to dig into the book to find it. But it's on page 275 for your notes. First book of Israel, chapter 33, verses 50 through 52. The pastor says, this was a sermon he gave on 4/8/2004. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And he was going over the series, Cleansing Yahweh's People. And this was the third sermon in that series. And in verse 50 of chapter 33, in the first book of Israel, he says, Yeshub or Yob, or Job, if you still don't know who I'm talking about, you really need those sermons in the book of Yeshub. You know, in the King James, it was written as Job. In the book of Yahweh, it says Yob. We know Pastor gave those sermons showing his name was Yeshub. You really need those sermons in the book of Yeshub. You'll never understand it unless you get them. There's no way you can. You high and cocky bastard, if you do not lower yourself and humble yourself to listen to Yahweh's servant, you're going to burn in hell. And your pride with you. This is how serious it is. You know, before the nuclear burnings come, before we see the actual hellfire burning and consuming mankind, you know, there's a fire that can burn within our own minds with this pride, where it burns up all spirit which is holy that dwells within us. This is how serious it is. There is no way you can get there without me right now, brother and pastor says. There's no way you can do it. If Yahweh decided to take me out of the picture, he would put others here to teach you. But as long as I am living, Yahweh shows I'm going to be bringing back these laws. If you could have understood them without me, he would have let you do it. You know, and which of us established the house of Yahweh? None. You know, the house of Yahweh was established by Yahweh's servant. So maybe we're too young. You know, we weren't born in 1934, but even people who were born in the 20s and the 1900s, they never established the house of Yahweh. All these lying preachers, they set up their churches and they gave themselves over to the sin, the only things they understood. But Yahweh established his house through his servant. He would have let you do it if you could have understood these things without him, but we're not able to. There's no way you can do it. Get it in your stupid, prideful head that you cannot make it without this Oki, and maybe you humble yourself when you see that fire burning in front of you. It's that serious. The pastor says, and this is great, because he says, I do not see any pride left in 99% of us. I see humbleness. I see righteousness. I have seen so much righteousness this feast, even through the last feast. I thought I would never see better. Okay, so Yahweh is showing us and he's warning us to be on guard against pride. You know, and I think I find, at least in my life, that when you're younger, it's more readily and quickly available to be proud about things. You know, you get told that you got your shoes on backwards. No, I don't. No, they're on backwards. No, they're not. You know, hey, you forgot this. No, I didn't. You know, hey, you're supposed to be doing that. Why? You know, when you're younger, it's kind of you're always being told what to do. And we're going to read. We're going to read something here Pastor wrote also in the same book of Israel, but we're always being told what to do. And even as we age, I mean, you could be, you know, there's a couple of men I know here in the great house of Yahweh. You know, they were born before 1934. They're even a little bit older, and Pastor even spoke about that. But even people who are older, you know, we still have to resist pride and resist the natural tendency to want to do things our way. You know, we have to be able to bring our lives into subjection with Yahweh's way, because Yahweh's way is the only way that's lasting. You know, our own way, if we go our own way, we lead ourselves to destruction. You know, if you could think about before Yahweh called you to his house, or before you started growing in the understanding of Yahweh's laws, if you could think about the wicked, evil people that we were, you know, and where we would have ended up if it hadn't have been for Yahweh's love and mercy to call us and to allow the veil of deception to be lifted from our eyes and allow us to be able to hear the words of life coming forth from Yahweh's servant. You know, and those words that proceed from Yahweh's voice, which is Israel Hawkins, in these last days, those are the only words of life. Even the greatest and the brightest of mankind that they can put forth, they have all that knowledge that Pastor spoke about, but they lack all of the wisdom that would guide that knowledge so that they'd be able to have a life more abundantly. You know, so you see things in the news like, the big, you know, big minds of the world, the inventors and the things that are making life better for everyone, supposedly, you know, and they don't even offer a hope of continual life. They just say, well, you know, hopefully AI or artificial intelligence will increase, and maybe there'll be some point where you can download all your mind into a machine so you can live, you know, because your body's going to die, sucker. You're going to go down, so maybe you can live in this machine. And that's the best hope they have, that they'd be able to create some technology to download all your thoughts into a machine. But we know that's never going to take place. Pastor wrote in the book, there is someone out there that the human mind is it cannot be replicated by a machine. You know, it's the greatest computer that ever will be invented. And Yahweh invented it, and there's not going to be anything better. You know, no man's going to be able to invent something that even comes close to what the mind can do. And we know our minds are limited at this time. We only have the power over our conscious minds, you know, but our subconscious mind is constantly grasping and learning things. And we will be able to, when we access the power to use the subconscious mind, we'll be able to bring forth the fruits of righteousness if we've retained Yahweh's knowledge. Or if we haven't retained these words that come forth from the voice of Yahweh in these last days, you know, we're never going to get the access to the complete access to the mind there. If you go over to Yeremia chapter 9, it's found on page 581. Yeremia chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. The prophet Yeremia also spoke and gave a warning here about what occurs when you rebel against the voice of Yahweh. You know, and some of the, on the radio here in the past couple weeks, they've been playing some of the older sermons, you know, and it's not necessarily the tone of Pastor's voice that is the importance, it's the message that comes, because Pastor's voice has changed, it's changed frequencies through the years. You listen, you'd be like, who's that on the radio over there? And like, oh, that's Pastor. You know, a new person might come and they'd be like, really? That doesn't sound like Pastor. You know, as we age, our voices do change. But in Yeremia chapter 12 and verse 14, it shows here, who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of Yahweh has spoken? So he may declare this. Why the land perishes and it's burning up like a wilderness so no one passes through? And Yahweh says, because they, you know, those who heard the mouth of Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh, because they have forsaken my law that I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked in accordance with it. But instead, you know, and all of us, any person here today, or those who are gathered from afar, you know, we've all been called to this voice. We've all been brought to this house to be taught by this man that Yahweh has ordained in these last days to teach instructions and knowledge and wisdom. And if we reject the instructions that are coming from Yahweh's house, if we say, well, you know, I don't think Israel was talking to me, or nah, he doesn't understand, you know, Pastor, he's like in his 80s, and you know, I'm 15, and you know, I mean, he just doesn't really remember what it's like to be 15. I'm sure he remembers, because you know, as you age, it seems like just a couple of minutes ago you were 15 or you're 12 or something, and then you're like, oh man, that's not occurring anymore. In Yeremia chapter 9 and verse 14, he says, but instead, so they haven't walked or obeyed Yahweh's voice, but instead they have walked after the imagination of their own heart, to their own stubborn thoughts, and walked after Balaam, lords, gods, Elohim, and goddesses, which their fathers taught them. You know, and I've yet to see any individuals, you know, either here today or those that have left, you know, that go and like, you know, buy them a big Virgin Mary statue or something and get the rosary beads, and that's what leads them away from Yahweh. No, it's always subtle influences, you know, through entertainment or through pleasure seeking, you know, the things that the carnal mind desires and it longs after. You know, it'd be amazing. We could be in a classroom, we could have a classroom full of young men, and you could talk and read books of Yisrael or the book of Yahweh at times, and you just can't grasp their attention. And then if you put certain things in front of them, it's like that carnal mind just latches right on. I watched the other day in the class, one of the young men, he was sitting, and he was paying attention to something else, wasn't even paying attention to one of the younger brothers, and one of the younger brothers was humming something, and that quickly his mind, you know, caught on to it, and he walked over there, and he's like, "What are you humming?" He's like, "Nothing." He's like, "No, I've heard that before." Just from the hum of something, it caught his mind. But sometimes, like the words of, you know, "Hey, don't touch this," or "Don't do that," or, you know, "Keep your hands off your brother," or "Don't be pushing him, breaking the rules," or "Hey, sit quietly, properly, and pay attention." Those things, easily forgotten. But the things that are want to be retained, that quick, they'll latch onto it. I've seen young men. You can ask them to sweep the floor, and "Oh, my leg hurts, my back hurts." "Oh, sweep? I don't know. How do you sweep the floor? What do you use to do that with?" "Well, there's a broom over there." "A broom? What's a broom? I don't know what a broom is. I've never seen one of those in my whole life." Yet you could ask them. You could probably ask them to climb up on the tower outside, you know, and change the light bulbs and the lights. And boy, they'd be Johnny on the spot climbing up the tower, halfway to the top, forget the light bulb and the wrenches to change it, and not have any idea what they're doing. But it'll be Johnny on the spot, because when you want to do something, when you want to get something done, you're right after it. And when you don't want to, it's kind of like, man, there's got to be an excuse. There's got to be something. Oh, I can't sweep the floor. I was supposed to be doing a writing assignment or preparing a sermon for Sabbath. I'll be right back. And then they'll move on to the next thing that takes hold. And this is why Yahweh set forth teachers and leaders. In the first book of Israel, chapter 24, verse 58, Pastor talks here about the job of the priests and the leaders. And if you remember, Pastor spoke about a priest does the job of a priest well before he's ever ordained priest. You know, so the priests and the deacons and the men and all of us, we all, and of course with the women, with the priestess and the kohanas and the judges and the women and the deaconesses, we're all doing, even from the youngest child to the oldest old person, which you never get them to admit that they're the oldest old person. We all have a job in doing and teaching and training. And Pastor talks about it here, about the job of the priest in the first book of Israel, chapter 24, verse 58. And he was going over the definition of priest. He said, "The word priest also means affiliating in everything. It's like sticking your nose into everything that goes on to guard it." And you heard people say that before. "Man, the priest, if they just stop digging in my business, you know, if the priestess would just stop digging in my business, why can't they just leave me alone sometimes, you know? Come on now, I'm trying to have fun." But the priest means affiliating in everything. It's like sticking your nose into everything that goes on. To guard it, to keep it from changing what Yahweh has created by inspecting it. If you're building something in the city and an inspector comes, you ought to welcome that man. Thank him and ask him some questions. You should say, "Please show me what you want done. I'll be glad to do it." You know, and you can see here the spirit of Yahweh compared to the spirit that's taught by the other 4,199 other religions, where, you know, mankind is always trying to find a way around the rules or around the instructions. You know, be like, "Oh, the inspector's on the job. Hey, man, guys, make sure you put your hard hats on, put your vest on, and hey, put those things away over there, and get off the top of that ladder. You know, you're not supposed to be up there. The inspector's on the site." Sometimes it could be kind of the same thing. You know, you could walk into a room of individuals, and it could be loud and boisterous and all means of things taking place, and you can walk into the room and it just suddenly becomes quiet. Did I say something? Did I do something? What occurred here? But the priest is one to guard and to inspect. And so Pastor says, you should say, "Show me how you want these things done. I'll be glad to do it." And he was speaking to, you know, men or women who might be dealing with things where there's inspectors and people in charge of things when you're building things in the city. Pastor says, change it if you have to, but follow his instructions. It may be wrong. They make mistakes, but it's based on what they think will keep someone from getting hurt in your organization in some way. You know, and so when we run businesses and do things, when we're dealing with the world, we have to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. You have to follow those instructions and those rules. Those aren't the rules and instructions that are going to lead to salvation, but they build within our mind the desire to follow rules, follow instructions, do as we're being instructed to do. But the word priest is affiliating, enacting priest. Yes, although it's an honorable worker in the house, it's a chief ruler, a prince, an officer, but it's a worker. It's a man who is willing to take on any task and do what he is asked, or what Yahweh has created and put within his mind the ability to do. That priest is the one described in the Holy Scriptures. That is what you have to become. Because remember, Yahweh didn't call us, he didn't call us to his house to be, you know, farmers or ranchers or dressmakers or, you know, garment makers or office workers. He called us to be priests and priestesses in his kingdom, to be a part of his ruling family, to help lead and guide the universe in peace. And this is what we have to become. A priest is someone who takes care of needs, guards the needs, and guards the food supply. That was one of the statements that Yeshua made when he said, "Blessed is the one who gives this meat in due season, and whom I find doing this when I come, doing it until the end, and enduring until the end." The priest is an authorized minister. And Pastor says, here again you conjure up this black-robed hypocrite in your mind if you're not careful. A minister is one who ministers to the needs of others. Ministers for the ruler of the universe, who is Yahweh. Yahweh's judgments are absolutely perfect and based on perfect laws. You know, and this is what we're being taught. We're being taught how to be teachers of Yahweh's judgments and fit judges to rule according to righteous judgments that Yahweh has set forth. And this is why Pastor so strictly trains us and instructs us and tries to guard us away from going the other way, because when you partake of that mixture, you start partaking of the mixture of righteousness and evil, you know, it starts destroying the spirit which is holy, which should overshadow us and should guide us into being a part of Yahweh's everlasting family. If you go over to Psalms chapter 55, Psalms chapter 55, it's found on page 454. Psalms 55 and verse 22, you know, because Pastor calls it the dog eat dog, the cares of this life, you know, the things you got to do, you know, you got to get this done and got to get that done. When you're younger, it seems like you have a lot of things you have to do, you know, because you're running out of time. But we know, I mean, if we think about Father Yahweh and a great high priest Yeshua, and even if we look at Pastor, you know, we know that a righteous life lived according to Yahweh's laws is never ending. So you're never going to run out of time to do things, you know. But right now, as Pastor's brought to us many times, right now we're being offered and instructed in what we need to gain salvation, to obtain salvation, to be a part of Yahweh's family forever. And if you have forever to live, you know, I remember being a little bit younger and people would be thinking like, man, if you live forever, then you just eventually you got to get bored because you just wouldn't have something to do. But if you have forever to live, you're constantly going to be learning. You're constantly going to be instructing and teaching, and you're going to constantly be able to learn new things and partake of different things. You know, at this time period, there's some things we don't partake of. You know, it's because of either the defilement of the earth or just because the seriousness of the times that we live in. And we have to be able to really hear and follow the instructions that we're being given for this time period, not to be distracted by the cares of this world. In Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22, it says, "Cast your cares on Yahweh and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." You know, so we're not, Pastor's not going anywhere. The house of Yahweh is not going anywhere. And if we bind ourselves and tether ourselves to that work, we're never going to go anywhere. So we're, no matter our age, whether we're 1 year old or 99 years old, you know, we're always going to be able to grow in Yahweh's righteousness. And we're never going to be moved out of our place. But we have to put our cares upon Father Yahweh and make sure our desire is in pushing forward his work. Because if not, you get distracted with all sorts of other things that Satan's offering to the world at this time period. You know, the things that bring death and defilement to the minds and just get you caught up in foolishness and stupidity and actually miss the opportunity, the once and forever opportunity to be able to actually be something on the earth. Because if you go back through the history of mankind, it's written, you know, you can use Google for something beneficial. You know, research like Alexander the Great, like he lived a long, healthy old life, right? No, he died like a young man, you know. Alexander the Great, I don't know what's great about dying in your 30s, you know. And I think a recent article said they possibly buried him alive because he had some kind of sickness that paralyzed his body so much that they pronounced him dead way before he was dead. So the poor man got buried alive as he was slowly dying and suffering. Now Yahweh shows us our righteous promises in closing here in the first book of Israel, chapter 20 and verse 23. This is on page 160 of the first book of Israel. Pastor says, this is the finishing work. You know, there's not going to be another chance to get a part of Yahweh's work. You know, this is the finishing work that will gain the power. Remember that. To raise the dead and the power to rule the universe. We will have power like Yahweh. He has called us to that purpose, to manage the whole universe. You are going to be put as managers over everything that he created. That's the reason he said in Hebrews that it was needful for him to bring many sons to this glory. Because we have a tremendous job to do. A job that's not being done right now. And Yahweh created us to fulfill that job. Yahweh created something to fulfill everything that needs to be done. Okay, and you great house of Yahweh, you're going to be the managers over everything that Yahweh has created. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 26 through 27, Psalms 22, 26 through 27, it says, the poor shall eat and they shall be satisfied. Those who seek Yahweh, may they live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Yahweh. All the families of the Gentiles will bow down before him. I do encourage you, brethren, great men and women of the house of Yahweh, and young men and women of the house of Yahweh, to continue to grow in knowledge and understanding as taught by the great house of Yahweh from the only one who's authorized to teach these things, the great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. And at this time, if you all please stand, I have the great privilege and honor to turn it over to one of Yahweh's mighty priests, much younger than me, with a lot more energy, the great Kahan, David DePass.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you will be turning to Acts chapter 13, that's on page 854. And we can start reading in verse 21. In the right here, what was being discussed was a brief history of the children of Israel and the different leaders or the type of organizations that led them. And up to this point on verse 21 here, it says, afterward they wanted a king. So it came to a point where they wanted a king. They had judges before that, and the last judge that they had was Samuel. And they wanted a king, so Yahweh gave them Shaul, son of Kish, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, for about 40 years. Why did they want a king? They had Samuel. And they wanted a king because they wanted someone who they could influence to do what they wanted to do. You see? And this disturbed Samuel. But that's really why they wanted a king. Continuing in verse 22, Samuel to them was like Yahweh. You see, they couldn't bend Samuel at all. In verse 22, it says, and when he had removed him, meaning Shaul, he raised up for them David as king. Notice that word, he raised up. I hear Pastor talking about it all the time. To whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Ishai, a man after my own heart, who will perform all my will. Now that is quite a testimony from Yahweh himself, wouldn't you say? It's a really incredible thing that was said here about David. You know, and remember this, Yahweh is the one who inspired these words in Jeremiah 17. That's on page 587 if you want to turn there, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart." See, the person who gave this testimony is the person who is the authority, the leading authority on matters pertaining to the heart. I, Yahweh, search the heart. This is what Yahweh does, and this is what Yahweh does for each and every one of us. And test the mind, because he's making an assessment here on which job you're going to be best suited for. Even to give every man according to his ways, it says, and according to the fruit of his doings. And Yeshua actually said pretty much the same thing in Revelation 22, verse 12, where it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work will be." So here in Jeremiah, it says, even to give every man according to his ways. And then in Revelation, Yeshua says, according to his work. So your ways, our ways and our work is that the reflection of what's going on in our heart. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind. Our ways and our work reflects what's going on in our heart. So this testimony from Yahweh, brethren, is not to be ignored. It was given to us for a reason, for us to learn something from this individual. Why did Yahweh make this claim about David? Do you want it said about you that you are a man or a person, a woman, or a man after Yahweh's own heart who will fulfill all his will? In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "The things that were written in former times were written for our learning, that we through the endurance and comfort of the scriptures may have hope." I was going to talk about endurance, and a lot of people have talked about it. It's very important. And one thing I just want to mention is that endurance, what do we endure in? Is it something that we do only for a time? We endure in doing righteousness in adverse conditions or in any situation. And that's where, you know, that's where we have the endurance. It actually produces a result. But let's continue here. It says, so let's take take a look at David's life and see why he's a man after Yahweh's own heart. Now, did David sin? Yes, big time, right? But he repented of it. And Pastor pointed out that he never repeated those sins. And that's something that we can learn from, brethren. It's not repenting and going and sinning and repenting and going and sinning again. He repented of the sin that he did, and it was never recorded, reported about him ever again. We must be careful, brethren, not to focus on David's sin to give cover to our own sins. See, that's not why Yahweh gave us these detailed accounts of David's life. But you can, if you want, you know, trap yourself with it. You know, if you're, if you, if If you want to do that, I wouldn't recommend it. But what I want to focus on is why Yahweh considered David to be a man after his own heart. If you'd please turn to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. And as we go through this, I might not get to all of this, but as we go through this, some of the things that popped out at me, some of the things that I got from this study is that David does not take offense. Okay? And not taking offense, not being offended, is an important part of keeping our heart pure. And that's one of the things that we need to focus on, having a pure heart, a clean heart. Remember, Yeshua said that you're all clean except one. You know, we're looking to have a clean feast. But the most important thing that you can clean is your heart. Okay? Another point here that hopefully we'll cover is that David was positive. He had strong faith, and he made the most of his job. David didn't retaliate. And also, we know that David was unusually loyal to Yahweh's anointed. He was truly loyal to Yahweh's anointed. The first time we are introduced to David, you'll notice something. I don't know if you've noticed it before, but that he was regarded as the least of his brothers. It seemed that way. You could make that argument, and we'll see that shortly. Now, that maybe have been due to his age, because he was quite young. But when Samuel came to anoint a king, to anoint one of Yishai's son, David was not initially invited to this important occasion. He was not invited. So in 1 Samuel 16, verse 5-7, actually, let's start reading in verse 4, because I want to underscore the fact that this was an important event here. So Samuel did what Yahweh said and went to Bethlehem. The elders of the city trembled when they met him. So when the prophet Samuel come to your town, he's not just coming for a barbecue, you know. He's coming to do important business. He's coming to make a judgment or something. So this is important. Verse 5. And he said, Shalom. So in other words, he's coming in peace. They asked, do you come in peace? So he's coming in peace. He says, Shalom. You can breathe easy now. I've come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Sanctify and consecrate yourselves. And come with me to the sacrifice. So prepare yourself, much like what we do before the Sabbath. Then he sanctified and consecrated Yishai and his sons. And you would think that included all of his sons. And invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely Yahweh's anointed stands in front of him. But Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height, because I have refused him. Yahweh does not see things as man sees them, for man looks at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at the heart. And how does Yahweh look at the heart? You know, does he do surgery and check it out, or, you know, put it on the X-ray or something? No, he sees what we do. He sees how we do it. He sees our ways. And that's a reflection of what's going on in our heart. So Yahweh does not see things as men sees them. For man looks at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at the heart, the seat of intelligence. You see? Now, does Yahweh have something against tall, handsome guys? I don't think so. If you turn quickly, just hold your place right there in Samuel 16 and turn to 1 Samuel 9. Because Samuel went through this before. In verse 1, 1 Samuel 9, verse 1, it says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. And jump down to verse 2. He had a son whose name was Shaul. He was impressive and handsome, without equal among the children of Israel. And he was a head taller than any of the people. So that means if you have all these people gathered together, the head that you would see on top is Shaul. So, after Samuel informed Shaul what he intended to do to anoint him king, this is what Shaul said in verse 21, 1 Samuel 9, verse 21. Then Shaul answered and said, I'm a Benjaminite from the smallest tribe in Israel. And my clan, not only that I belong to the small clan, small tribe, my clan is the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak to me like this? So you notice the humble attitude that he had at this time? Did his position as king went to his head and caused him to change? This is why we must endure in righteousness. I mentioned that earlier. Don't become proud or arrogant. So you see, the thing that Yahweh didn't change. He's always looking for these for the characteristics, the righteous characteristic, the humility. That's what he's looking for. Let's turn back quickly to 1 Samuel 16 and continue in this account here where Samuel is inspecting Yishai's sons. So in verse 8, it continues, Yishai summoned Abinadab and had him come forward, but Samuel said, Yahweh has not chosen one of these. This one. He has not chosen this one. Verse 9. Then Yishai made Shema come forward. But Samuel said, Yahweh has not chosen this one. In the same way, Yishai made seven of his sons come forward to stand in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, Samuel said to Yishai, Yahweh has not chosen these. Yahweh has not chosen these. So at this point, you could sense a certain disappointment here. You know, a letdown from the expectation. Samuel examined all Yishai's sons that was considered worthy to be present. Verse 11, then Samuel wanted to make sure, so he said to Yishai, are these all your sons, all the sons you have? And he said, well, you know, the youngest remains. But he's out tending the sheep. I didn't think it was necessary for him to be here. I don't know if he said that. Maybe he did. Samuel said to Ishai, "Send for him and bring him forward, because we will not gather around to eat of Yahweh's sacrifice until he comes here." So Ishai sent for David and brought him in to eat of Yahweh's sacrifice. He was ruddy, with fine appearance and handsome features. Now, ruddy there means red. And he had something going for himself. Fine appearance and handsome. But that wasn't the reason. You see, it was again, Yahweh looks at the heart. He wasn't looking at the person's skin color. Okay? Or his height. Verse 12. Then Yahweh said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Notice that. Notice that was included. In the presence of his brothers. It kind of gives the impression that there was some rivalry going on there. You know? And from that day forward, the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David. Then Samuel rose and left for Ramah. Now, this was an important event, and David was not considered important enough to be invited. And guess what? It didn't bother him. It didn't bother him. We didn't see any evidence in Scripture that says it bothered him. Why? Why was this? Why was this situation? Why was he had to deal with this situation? As we talk about this, brethren, as we cover this, I want you to think about the various situations that you may be in. And Satan can influence you, put thoughts in your mind to try to get you to be offended. But just remember this. You know, I have a dear deacon that a lot of times he see me, he's an older person. He said to me, when I grow up, I want to be like you. But in reading the account of David, I could say, when I grow up, I want to be like him. Now, maybe it was because he was the youngest. He was probably between 8 years old and 10 years old. I tried to search for that, and most of the experts out there is settling up on that age range. But they say it was no more than 15 years old. He wouldn't have been no more than 15 years old. And being young, you might be expected to be the one to do the jobs that nobody else want to do, you know? Or it could be that, you know, they didn't want him coming there and embarrassing the family by talking about his exploits on the pasture, fighting lions and bears. You say, you know, nobody don't believe that. Go, I mean, put him over there. Who knows? He probably was mocked and jeered by his brothers and all that, but there's no indication that he was disrespectful to them. And there is no indication that he was offended. Now, put yourself in this situation, okay? Would you be offended? Do you have a heart like David? Yahweh said, I have found David, the son of Yishai, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. This is not a small feat, brethren. This is something that Yahweh is expecting all of us to get to, that to get to this position, okay? To be a man or a woman after his own heart. Now, what do you suppose he said when the person came to relieve him of his duty? So that he could go and see and be at the event. He probably said, this is what came to my mind, he probably said, so who is going to take care of the sheep? That's the kind of person he was. In David's mind, he was performing the will of Yahweh by serving his family, in taking care of the sheep so that they could attend to other things. He didn't take issue with them, with him not being invited to see or hear the great prophet of Yahweh, although he probably would have loved to be there. Brethren, would you have been offended? Or would you say, you know, shucks, man, they put me out here with in the middle of nowhere. Okay? With the lions and the bears. Man. While they eat the fatted calf, you know what I mean? You wait until I grow up. You see what I do. No, brethren. Yahweh was so real to David. Okay? He wasn't out there by himself. He was out there with Yahweh. And this is a small child. This is a small child. Okay? He was out there with Yahweh. David had the love of Yahweh burning in him. I wonder if we understand that. I wonder if our children, do you understand that? He had the love of Yahweh burning in him. He was willing to do whatever Yahweh asked him to do. I found David, the son of Yishai, a man after my own heart, who will perform all my will. Brethren, the next time you find yourself in an offensive situation which calls for you to be humble, to wait, to be patient, to endure, to act appropriately when faced with disrespect, accept it like a 95% sale on an item that you desperately wanted to get. Situations like these, brethren, are our ticket to the kingdom. Yahweh is searching our heart and testing our minds. That's what he's doing. We need situations like this so that our reputation and the condition of our hearts can be examined and established as being righteous. This is why we are given time to overcome. Now is the time to buy the oil that you hear Khan Koileth talk about. Now is the time to buy the oil. I'm not saying that we should treat our brothers or sisters rude or disrespectful so that they could get some oil. I'm not saying that. I want to treat others, and I want to be perfect in this. I want to be perfect in regards to treating others with respect and I would rather be disrespected than for me to disrespect somebody else. Okay? Now, there's a way of respectfully correcting others, and we must strive for that. Okay? But if you have to suffer a little bit, suffer. Okay? They will learn by your example. I think that ought to be our attitude, okay? But inevitably, life occurs and we find ourselves in situations where we could choose to be offended or not to be. You see? Making the right choice, brethren, in these situations build up our store of oil we need to make us wise, right? In front of Yahweh. See? And now is the time to buy the oil. And you can, for reference, study Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13 for your notes. The oil is the preaching and the practicing of righteousness. That's what it is. Now, do you notice how Pastor, none of our children here will have to miss the pouring out of oil that goes on here on the Sabbath. Pastor makes sure that the children are gathered right in front of him. Every Sabbath, the golden oil is poured out to anoint each of you into high office. That's what's going on. It's an anointing that's going on right now. It's an anointing that goes on every Sabbath. Didn't Yeshua say, in my Father's house there are many offices? And also the office that we will hold, it would be even greater than Solomon's. Scripture tells us that the least of us, brethren, least of us will be greater than Solomon. Do you believe it? Do not reject the jobs that you have been given, brethren. It's training for something even more important. Do you think that David took his job as a shepherd boy, seriously? Do you think he took it seriously? Well, the lions and the bears thought so. Notice how he used his job experience, okay, as a shepherd boy to ask and receive a higher job. In 1 Samuel 17, let's start reading in verse 32. You know the situation, you know the story. Goliath was out there taunting the Israelites, and there could be found nobody in Israel to confront him. And he was blaspheming Yahweh's name. David said to Shaul, "Let no one become discouraged because of this Philistine. I, your servant, will go out and fight him." Shaul said to David, "You are not able to fight this Philistine. You are only a boy." Notice, boys, take note. You're only a boy. We're talking about just a boy here. That's who we're talking about. And he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Shaul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." That's my job. That's my job, keeping my father's sheep. I care for the sheep. You remember somebody who cared for the sheep? What did he do? He laid down his life for the sheep. You see the genes in there? When a lion or a bear would come to carry off a sheep from the flock, then I would go after it, strike it, and rescue the sheep from its mouth. If he turned upon me, I would catch it by its ear, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, seeing that he has challenged and defied the armies of the living Father. You see, it was sewn into his genes already to be willing to give up his life, even at that early age. And we're not saying you should go out and do this. You know? Man, I don't even know if I would want to do it, even if I had a shotgun or something to go out there. You know, one of them things might sneak up on you. But that's why I say, when I grow up, man, I want to be like David. But notice that he didn't just do his job. Doing his job would be taking care of the sheep and stuff. And if he sees a lion, oh boy, I'm gone. And I'll come back later and see what's left. No, he did more. In Luke 17, verse 10, notice what it says here. Notice what it says here. Because this situation reminds me of this. So in the same way, when you have done all those things you are commanded to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what is our duty to do. So here's another indication here, okay, of what was going on in David's heart. Okay? He went above and beyond. He did more than what he was commanded to do. Okay? And we have work that we're doing, we have been assigned to do, and in the house of Yahweh, in our lives, not everybody works for the house of Yahweh full time. But whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might and enjoy doing it. Enjoy doing it. David enjoyed the work that he had to do. It wasn't a put down. None of that. And he had this close relationship with Yahweh. This is something that we must have. And we want to see in our children. No, you can't force it. It's not something that's done by force. You see? There was no forcing David. He did it willingly. And this is what we need. You know, the supervisors, it's not about, it's clearly defining what the job has to be done and seeing to it that it's being done. And allow the work to be done in such a way that, you know, a person can do more willingly. You see? Do you see how close the relationship he had with Yahweh? Is Yahweh as real to us as he was to little David here? He did not complain about his job. He was very respectful to everyone around him. He was respectful to his father, to his brothers, to his teachers. Otherwise, Yahweh wouldn't really have much to do with him. He wouldn't be selected. He wouldn't be the chosen one. So this is part of it. Okay? This is part of it. And, you know, I have a little pet peeve. And that pet peeve is cursing. Not that I curse, but I don't like to hear cursing. Okay? And I think it defiles us. And we need to stop it. We need to stop practicing it. And it should not be coming from our children either. Okay? Do things that preserve the purity of your heart. Okay? Purify your heart. You see, the type of man David became was clearly shown from the child he was. It was shown from the child he was. And brethren, as we I'm going to conclude here right now. And as we draw close to the feast, think about David. Think about the fact that he was a man after Yahweh's own heart, and Yahweh gave that testimony. And seek that, brethren. Search it out. Well, may Yahweh bless your understanding. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. Okay. If you all please stand, and I'll give you our great, great Kahan, Kahan Kanaf. Praise God.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please be seated. I'm glad that the great Kahan David laid a lot of groundwork, you know, for what I have got together here for this sermon, and speaking about the heart and how important it is to have a clean heart. And this is what we need to strive for, you know, and the only way to clean our hearts is what's taught by the house of Yahweh, the law and the prophecies. I've entitled this sermonette, Preparing Ourselves for Yahshua's Memorial and the Passover in Unity as One Body. This is what Pastor is trying to get over. If you listen to the last several sermons, you know, he's trying to get us totally in unity. He's trying to show us our own faults, the things that we need to work on. And, you know, we none of us are perfected. You know, now we do have a heart that desires to become perfect. And with that, you know, that's the groundwork. You know, that's what we have. Now, if you haven't checked the calendars yet, our calendar, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is scheduled to be in the fourth Roman month, from the 19th to the 27th. And let's go ahead and turn to 101, page 101, Leviticus 23. It's always great to read it as we prepare for it. And of course, in Deuteronomy 16:1, it talks about the actual sighting of the green ears in the first moon. Okay, but Leviticus 23, starting at verse 5, on the 14th of the first moon, between the two evenings, Yahweh's Passover sacrifice is to be killed. And we know that we actually have this memorial for Yahshua, who was that representation. Okay, and on the 15th day of the same moon is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. 7 days we must eat unleavened bread. Okay, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it. So keep in mind how important it is for us to keep our minds focused on Yahweh, you know, during the great feast. Now that's approximately, say, 7 weeks away. What we want to do first is kind of lay down the foundation that Yahshua has laid down for us of what it takes to become in Yahweh's image. And of course, therefore, knowing the importance of Yahshua's sacrifice and being able to teach it to others. If we just learn it and don't go out and teach it to others, then, you know, it's of no benefit. And of course, to become as Yahshua is. So let's first start on page 943. Okay, page 943 in the book of Hebrews. We're going to read Hebrews 1:1-4. Okay, starting at verse 1, Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets. Now, the first thing that should come to your mind is everything Pastor has taught us about the book of Yahweh. You know, everything is based on the book of Yahweh showing us 100% with no flaws at all that the prophecies of Yahweh, as they become fulfilled, you know, we are fulfilling them and we will fulfill them all the way to the end. Okay? As in these last days, speaking specifically of these last days, spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, for whom he also made the world. Now we know that all of the inspiration that comes from Yahshua is going to and channeled through our pastor and overseer, the great Kohen Yishael Abel Hawkins. And then he in turn, as the one sent, is able to teach us. Everything that is taught in the house of Yahweh has all been brought forth first by our pastor. You know, if you think about it, there's nothing that's been taught, you know, that's contrary to what pastors taught us from the beginning. And of course, all of this we have the groundwork on, you know, on the Sabbath and the feast days. Okay, continuing on there in verse 3, and of course, speaking of Yahshua, who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and the representation of Yahweh's plan by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh through what? Through the laws and the prophets, you know, which can only be found in the book of Yahweh. We've got to get that set in our mind. And of course, as it's taught by the house of Yahweh, when he had purged sins, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh on high. And of course, let's go ahead and turn, if you would, turn to page 899 to 1 Corinthians. 899, because that purging of sins is what Yahshua has showed us, because he was a sinless sacrifice, so he couldn't have been our Savior, okay? But he showed us, you know, the power over the law, you know, I mean, the power, showing the power of the law over sin, okay? And of course, the Apostle Shaul showed us in 1 Corinthians 15, let's start in verse 55, okay? O death, where is your sting? O Sheol, the grave, where is your victory? The sting of sin is death. We know, and we've only known from the house of Yahweh that all sin does what? It leads to death. Okay? The power over sin is the law. And thanks be to Yahweh who gives us the victory through our King and High Priest Yahshua Messiah. You know, we would never know how to actually conquer sin, you know, without Yahshua's perfect sacrifice. Okay, so, you know, in this, you know, we need to become in unity with Yahweh through Yahshua, you know, by Yahshua's righteousness. Okay, let's be turning over to, turning back to page 938, keeping all of this in mind, especially everything that was brought by the previous speakers and the last speaker about the heart and making the heart righteous. Okay? In 2 Timothy 3, we're going to start at verse 10. And, you know, we need to see here just how Yahshua suffered. You know, this is something that we've always suffered, but of course, we're going to suffer through persecution. You know why? Because the world is evil. You know, the world doesn't know righteousness. You know, we're that shining lamp. Okay, in chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Now think about it like this, too. And now this is the Apostle Shaul speaking to Timothy. Okay, but read how verse 10 starts here and put it in place today. But from me, and that me, you can really replace with pastor. You know, I've already wrote pastor over the word me. But from pastor, you have closely followed the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the intention, the faith, the long-suffering, the love, the patience, the perseverance, the persecutions and the afflictions which came upon me at Antioch. And of course, Shaul is talking about in his time. Look at the persecutions that's come upon us, even in a tiny city of Abilene, when you compare it to the entire world. Okay? So we could put Abilene there to a certain extent. Which persecutions I endured, and out of them all, Yahweh delivered me. Yahweh would deliver each and every one of us if we follow the teachings of the house of Yahweh. Yes, and all who will live righteously as Yahshua Messiah will suffer persecution. You know, that's the way, you know, in which we become much, much more smooth. I remember one of the Kahans had given a sermon about that we're like sandpaper with each other. You know, it's through the interactions that we actually take the rough edges off. Okay? So just as Yahshua suffered persecution, we will also suffer, you know, if we choose to live righteously. Let's see, there's 10 through 12. Okay, go up to verse 1. Okay, know this also, that in the last days, it's speaking about this perilous time. Okay, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers in themselves. Now, what we're going to read here is everything that we see in the world today. You know, everything that we see in the world today. Think about it, especially for those of us that have some age on us. You know, I mean, it's not like it just took place yesterday. You know, it's been taking place over a period of time. But what we see today is like the top of it. It's sin is actually taking a hold of everyone in the world and actually having an adverse effect on them, especially through the way that the microorganisms have been affected. Okay, for men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And of course, it's not only talking about parents, it's talking about authorities, okay? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, without a truce, unforgiving. And that's something that we're going to touch on too, you know, about learning to forgive. False accusers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those who are righteous, you know, despisers of everyone that's in the house of Yahweh, okay? Traitors, betrayers, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh, okay? Having a form of holiness, we see this in all of the religions of the world as led by the Catholic Church, okay? Having a form of holiness, but denying the authority of it, from such turn away. That's specific instructions in order for us to attain this level of righteousness. Okay, so again, Yahshua has given us plenty of examples. Let's go ahead to Matthew 20, page 748. Matthew 20, and we'll see one of those examples about, you know, what we need to do to prepare for Yahshua's memorial. Okay? Actually, this scripture has been covered by pastor several times in Yahshua's memorial. Okay, in Matthew 20, starting at verse 20. Okay, then the mother of Zabdi's sons came to him with her sons, worshiped before him, so she, you could see she served Yahshua, okay, and wanted to make a request of him. And Yahshua said to her, what is it that you want? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may be seated in your kingdom, one on your right hand and one on your left hand. And in verse 22, but Yahshua answered and said, you do not know what you ask. And of course, you know, it sounds a little bit sarcastic, but it's not. You know, I mean, you know, she was asking something that was not within his will. You know, it's only in the will of Yahweh. Okay, are you able to drink of the cup And of course, this question was posed to the sons. Okay, are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink from and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. You know, we say the same thing whenever we come to the house of Yahweh and are counseled for baptism and actually are baptized. But are we actually ready? You know, I don't think any of us are ready at that time. But, you know, we show Yahweh, just like what the last speaker talked about, that through our heart, our desire is to be righteous. You know, we have to have that desire. And that way the laws and the prophecies will always dwell within us. Okay? And he said to them, you will indeed. Now Yeshua knew that they were going to be part of the following there, and they were going to be apostles. And you will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared for by my Father. Okay, so, you know, if you think about it, we need to take this same attitude, you know, when we're asked to be able to do something, especially in a supervisory position, that we don't really have permission to do. You know, we can't just take that authority and say, you know, well, yeah, you can do that. No, we need to follow the rules and the guidelines which have been set down by a pastor. Okay, so, you know, if we drank of the same cup, you know, that Yeshua is talking about here, now the cup represents all of the persecutions that we have to endure, you know, just as we do at Yeshua's memorial. You know, we make that agreement with Yahweh that we're going to continually endure all of the persecutions and become just as Yeshua is. Okay, so let's go page 470 to Psalm 91. Okay, 470. Page 470. Psalm 91, a very familiar scripture here. Okay, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 11. Okay, he who dwells, and of course that's both physically and spiritually, in the secret place or the protected place. Does everybody, I hope everybody's in agreement that protected place is where we're sitting at right now, in the house of Yahweh. Okay? Of the Most High will abide under the shadow, okay, the shadow, think about the shadow, the protected place, or actually, let's go ahead and go to hold your place there. Let's go to page 926 real quick, and we can rehearse this. All it is laying the foundation and the groundwork of what it takes, you know, for us to totally become in unity with Yahweh by the feast. Okay, in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, let no man or woman condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in observance of a feast day or of a new moon or of a Sabbath day. And in verse 17, which are a shadow from the things to come for the body of Messiah. So we know this shadow is our protection from the things that are going to come. You know, just think about it. This world is heading towards destruction. Okay? And it's for what? The body of Messiah. We have to be in unity. Okay, now going back to Psalm 91. In verse 2, we say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father. In you we will trust. Verse 3, surely he will deliver us. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, deadly pestilence. You know, this protection that we have is not given to the world. It's only given to those that come and reverence Yahweh at the house of Yahweh. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. All of these things we learn about at the great feast, and as we do today on the Sabbath. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. And we know that this is all of the bad microorganisms or the death bug that is out there from sin. Okay, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near to you. Now, that's a prophecy that we all know that we do normally every Sabbath, is we watch the news clips of what's taking place in this world. And what is it? It's prophecy being unfolded right before our very eyes. You know, this is a prophecy of the last day's work. Let's go ahead and go to Acts, page 842, Acts. We're going to have to move along here a little bit quicker. Okay, 842, Acts 3, we're going to start in verse 18. But those things which Yahweh foretold by the mouth of the prophets, look at it, it always goes back to the law and the prophets. Okay, that Messiah must suffer. He has fulfilled this. We know that Yahshua fulfilled everything that was prophesied of him. And what's taking place today, we're doing the same thing. We're fulfilling everything that's prophesied of this last day's work. Okay, now the apostle says, and I say to you, and also it includes myself, repent therefore and be converted. This is the way in which we become in unity with Yahweh, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send you. This is the only way that Yahshua is going to come, that he may send Yahshua the Messiah who was preached to you, whom the heavens must retain. Why? Because Yahweh has it in his plan that we must show him that we have a clean heart, that we can strive to become as he is. You know, everything is waiting on us. Okay? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send Yahshua the Messiah who was preached to you, whom the heaven must retain until the times of restoration of all things about which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. Now, this word restoration, the King James has it restitution, and it's word number 605, and which means to set in order. Okay, also, you know, this word, it goes back to word 600, to number 600, and it not only means to set in order, but to restore, and also to renew a covenant. You know, and we know that that takes place each time that we attend Yahshua's memorial. You know, we're renewing that covenant with Yahweh. Okay? For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Yahweh your father will raise up for you a prophet like me. And, of course, this is foretelling the prophecy of the last day's witness. From your brothers, him you will hear in all things. Whatever he says to you, and it will be that everyone who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, you heard the earlier speaker, from Samuel to those who followed after, as many as have spoken have foretold the same things about these days. These days in which the last witness has reestablished the great house of Yahweh, all according to prophecy, and we're a part of it. You know, now drop down to verse 26. To you first, Yahweh have raised up his son, Yahshua, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you away from his iniquities, which goes back to verse 19. Okay, so let's turn to page, turn back to page 731. Okay, page 731. Because Pastor's given us a goal to meet, you know, by the feast. And we need to really get our minds and our hearts right with Yahweh, okay? We're going to go ahead and read Matithiah 5, starting in verse 21. Okay? But Pastor has given us a goal to reach by Passover, to remove the hatred from our hearts, and learn to love one another through the laws and prophecies. Okay, you have heard that it was said by the people of ancient times, always going back to the law and the prophets, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry, and think about, you know, this word angry, what it is, it's the pattern of sin. You know, it starts with anger, and then it ends up in what we see today in destruction and killing and murder. Okay, so whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment. Again, anyone who says rakah, insulting your brother, will be in danger of the Sanhedrin. But whoever says nabal, desiring them to fall away, will be in danger of the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Okay, now hold your place there, because remember, everything is according to the laws and the prophecies. Okay, go to page 84. Keep your hand there. And go to page 84, okay, and we'll see this in the law, okay, in Leviticus 6, verses 2 through 7, okay, if a person sins and commits a trespass against Yahweh by lying to his brother about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he is deceived and is extorted from his brother, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, or vows falsely in any one of these things, a man may do sinning. This is all sin that is what's being talked about here. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has deceitfully obtained, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found. Now, this is what we're trying to get to right here. For all he has vowed falsely about, he shall restore its full value, adding one-fifth more to it, and giving it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. Okay, verse 6. Then, he shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh. You see here how so important it is, you know, to follow everything that not only Yeshua has laid down for us in the teachings, but how Pastor has given this to us. You know, we can't be accepted by Yahweh to give that offering unless we get that trespass, you know, whatever that sin is, squared away with our brother. Okay, so we have to get those things. Remember about that word of restitution, a restoration, you know, to set things in order. Okay, so let's see here. Let's go real quickly, page 154 to Deuteronomy 8, 154. Deuteronomy 8, because we have to learn to be humble like Pastor has taught us. You know, this is all the way in which we can overcome sin in our lives. Okay? In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, you must remember that Yahweh your Father led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, test and prove you, and know what was in your heart. the seat of your intelligence, to see whether you would keep his laws or whether you would not. Okay, now drop down to 5. Know then in your heart, the seat of your intelligence, that as a man disciplines his son in the same way Yahweh your Father disciplines you and I. Okay? I mean, it's so amazing, you know, how the heart ties into this. Okay? We have to be able to be blameless. Okay? So what? Let's... let's go real quickly to Philippians 9:22, page 922. Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 12 through 18 real quick there. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, effect, achieve your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to do this with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his righteous pleasure. And we're going to go ahead and close in page 773. And this is what we need to really, Pastor covered this scripture, I think, the last time he spoke. You know, we need to get this in our minds before Yahshua's memorial. Okay, 773, Yochanan Mark, chapter 11, verse 25. Okay, so love and forgiveness needs to be our goal, you know, before Passover. And verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will you or I, your Father, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you or I, my trespasses. Okay, I'm just trying to put myself in this same group. You know, we have to be forgiving. Learn to forgive. Okay, and with that, I've run out of time. If everyone would please stand. I have the great opportunity to pass it over to our future priest for closing prayer.